Hello and welcome to Studio One in RTE's Radio Centre to this Yankari and Friends Africa Meets Ireland special. Let us get this party started as if it's not started already. To introduce the members of the Yankari Afrobeat Collective, Shigun Akano.
Joining us tonight. On the saxophone tonight, Mr. Richard, everybody, Richard Young. On the baritone saxophone tonight, we call him Sam Mason. Sam Mason, my friend. Right beside me, with the angelic, beautiful voice, is Miss Gentuli, everybody. Mm-hmm. Miss Gentuli. On drums tonight, all the way from Congo, Kinshasa, Paddy Tunga, everybody, Paddy Tunga.
Simple.
Yeah, yes. Also from Congo, on the conga tonight, my main man himself, Sanchez, everybody, Sanchez.
Sancho Nico.
On first guitar tonight, we call him Dan the Man, Dan Whelan, everybody. All the way from LA via Ennis. Sean Munt, everybody. Sean Munt on second guitar. Yeah. And then on bass guitar. Yeah, he's the only one. The one and only Stumi Latino.
Stumi.
I myself, they call me Shagun. They call me Shigwan. I much prefer Shagun, to be honest. Shagun Akano is my name. You're welcome tonight. We are happy to have you here, listening wherever you are, all over the world. Thank you for joining us. Together, we are Yankari Afrobeat Collective, and we hope you have fun with us tonight. Let's go.
Be warned, any future arena guests listening to the program this evening, I am going to insist that all guests introduce themselves in that fashion from now on. What a way to be introduced to the Yankari Afrobeat Collective, Mr. Shigun Akano. It is so brilliant to have you here with us, Shigun. When
you.
I say Afrobeat to you, what does that mean?
Oh, Afrobeat, it means culture. It means it means it's deep, you know. It means blood. It means heritage. Yes.
It's more than music.
Yes. Yeah.
But undoubtedly, the beat part of that tells us that beat is what it's all about.
Yes, it's a groove. It keeps, you know, it drives that groove into you and makes you dance. It makes you want to get up and move and shake your body, you know.
Well, I'm sincerely hoping that the audience with us here in Studio One will be dancing before the end of the program tonight. And those of you listening at home, if you are in a situation to do so, push back the dresser. There will be dancing on the radio before 8 o'clock, I'm hoping. Yes. And I'm hoping that everybody at home will join in with that. The origins of Afrobeat, we're going back, I guess, to your native Nigeria. We're going back to Africa, obviously, Segun. How important was Fela Kuti in the establishment of Afrobeat?
Oh, wow. Fela created the genre, and he used the music to speak to power. He used it as a form of fighting oppression for the people. He used it as a tool for educating the people on their rights, you know? And he was persecuted for it. I think they killed his mom over it, threw her out of the window, burnt down his house, the Calcutta Republic, and a lot of other stuff. So for me, it's a tool that Fela gave to all Africans, not just myself, to continue to use it to fight for what is just.
And was your exposure to Afrobeat initially, was it in church, or was that just general exposure to music?
Absolutely, it was in church. So when I was growing up in church, my mom basically just abandoned me in the choir. She kind of kicked me into the choir. But the drummer in the church used to go to the shrine, Fela Shrine, every weekend, every Friday, Saturday, and then he would come back to church and try to play the beats that Tony Allen played. So that was how. And then you have a discussion about, did you hear what Tony played last night? You tried to do it and tried to show me as well.
And Tony Allen, the great drummer, of course, who I know you saw here in Ireland, but we'll come back to that part of the story later on. So it was drumming initially for you?
Yes. And I started on the drums.
What kind of instruments were you playing around the house?
Oh, around the house, we couldn't really afford drums, to be honest.
No drum kit at home?
No. So I used to we'll get our cutlery, a spoon and fork, and sit on the couch and basically cross our hands and use it. That's how we learned.
Whatever was in front of you. Yes. Let me bring in Sean Dietz, or Sean Mont, as they were calling him.
Whatever you want.
just a minute ago. From LA via Ennis is how you are here tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tell us what Afrobeat means to you and your connection to Yankari, Sean.
Yeah, it's like song from the United States, and you cannot deny that probably the brightest light in our export of culture is African American culture, and it's the work of Black people who were brought to the Americas and express themselves. So after a while, you start connecting the dots and you realize that all of this music, all of this art and culture that you love, all of the people who make it came from Africa. So you start doing research. Luckily, we come up in this age of the internet where we can, you know, we have access to the entire world's history so quickly.
So instead of going down to the shrine, like...
I went to Wikipedia.
You went to the computer.
Yeah, that became my shrine.
Yeah.
Not as fun, but good. And basically from there, realized that, through hip-hop, through all of these different pieces of culture that I love, the home of all of this is Africa. And by good fortune, I was able to meet Segun. And from there, he opened my eyes to the depth and the beauty of Nigerian culture, you know, because, again, speaking as an American, we benefit from a really positive PR. People still want to go to America. They're like, wow, the land of dreams. There are a lot of problems that we cannot ignore there, but we still have the benefit of that good PR. And for me, playing with Yankari, it is a very small way to start generating this good PR for Nigeria, because the most brilliant people in the world come from Nigeria.
I think the best way we could do it is by listening to the music. I just wanted to get a sense of that Afrobeat culture and where it came from. You mentioned, Sean mentioned this idea of hip-hop, and you mentioned it as well in terms of Fela Kuti. This is very much a music that carries important messages and political power within it. Check Yourself is the first song that you're going to perform for us, Segun. What is it? Is there a message here?
Yes. So Check Yourself, we wrote for people that just talk about things that don't concern them or they don't understand, you know, they just kind of put their comments in, you know. So we said, you know what, we're going to write a song about that. And yeah.
So this is especially for keyboard warriors, I'm guessing, out there. Check Yourself.
Yes.
Okay. Let us hear it.
Thank you. Everybody, oh, everybody, yeah. Come on, sir. Everybody, they move, they groove. You come, they look, them like zombie. Everybody, they move, they groove. You come, they look, them like zombie. Me adjust, they dance, they go. People follow, they jump, they jolly. Me adjust, they mind my own. You won't come spoil my flow.
Check yourself.
Everybody, everybody, don't move, yeah.
Everybody, they move, they groove. You come, they look, them like zombie. Everybody, they move, they groove. You come, they look, them like zombie.
Me adjust, they dance, they go. People follow, they jump, they jolly. Me adjust, they mind my own. Walk come, spoil my own.
Check yourself.
Ha, ha, ha.
Check yourself.
Dan Whelan on the guitar.
Yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. What a great lyric that is from the Ankari Afrobeat Collective with us live in Studio One on this Tuesday evening. And I was thinking, even as you were listening, as I was listening to that, Segun, that the sense of community is hugely important in this music, and of course, the great backing choir that we have up there in the balcony, the audience here in Studio One. You want that. You wanted this to be an inclusive music.
Absolutely, yes. Because it, going back to Fela, for example, you know, in his band, he would have about 20 people, you know, and those were just the backing singers. So it's a big communal musical experience, and that's what drives the music as well, because everybody gets involved. You know?
And I guess you're... tell us, first of all, about your move here to Ireland, because it became about, after you arrived here, it became about creating a new community for yourself, essentially, didn't it?
Absolutely. So I arrived, I think, some odd 20 years ago.
And your brother was with you?
Yes.
Were you still fighting over who was going to play the drums?
Something like that, yeah. Actually, yeah, I gave him my top. He never returned it. I still hold it against him. But anyway, that's story for another day. So, yeah, when I arrived, actually, I wanted to play drums. And I remember going to a music maker to kind of play in a band. And all the bands that, all the people were requesting for, Led Zeppelin drummer and you know, rock drummer, and I was like, you know, I'm not built for that, you know. So I left my Afrobeat drummer looking for bands to play with in Music Maker in the basement at the time. And after 6 months, I got a call back from another guy, and that's how we started. And that's how I started playing, getting out and playing in the night.
Where were you living at that time?
I think I was in Dunleary in the hostel.
In direct provision?
Yes.
What kind of community was around you there, and how did music work within that group of people?
Oh, yeah. At the time, there was other Africans, in people from Angola, Congo, Ethiopia, all over South Africa. And they kind of introduced me to other African music. That's when I discovered Oliver Mtukudzi from Zimbabwe, for example. And then that's why when I got into Hugh Masekela from South Africa and Ghana. So it was really enriching, even though it was in direct provision.
And that kind of Pan-African sense that you were getting to the music then, this isn't just about becoming Afro Beats with a plural, which is more about a kind of a modern sensibility. That this was about what you're doing with Yankari is different from that.
Yes, it is. So Afro Beats is a genre of music that came from Afro Beat. But Afrobeats is the commercialized version,
yeah.
You know, like the new age kind of new style of music, I'll call it, like a fusion of hip-hop and pop into the African kind of Afrobeats.
Although there's no doubting that there is a sense of hip-hop and a sense of pop and a sense of funk in everything that you do, but you're trying to keep it away from that commercialized version. Again, message being such an important thing within what you're doing here, and the fact that you were in direct provision at the time when Yankari started up. Yes. The song Expired Visa, I guess, speaks directly to that time, does it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So tell us the story behind it.
Sorry?
Tell me the story behind the song Expired Visa.
Oh, so it's actually from kind of like a personal experience, you know? There was a time in my life that I wasn't legal, if you know what I mean. I don't know how you can call someone illegal, but yeah, it happened. and that was, you know, a time when things were very difficult. You had no identification. You couldn't really kind of look for work. There were a lot of things, a lot of restrictions, you know. And to become regularized anywhere in the world is a tough journey, you know. From that point into a point where I would say I am today.
Well, you're now an Irish citizen.
Yes. Thank you, Ireland. Yes. Thank you.
But that experience feeds directly, the experience of being in that limbo land for a period of time feeds directly into this song.
Absolutely. Because you're in constant fear, you know. You see the police lights, even though you've not done anything wrong, straight away, you know, your heart starts to pound, you start to think so many things. It's a really, really challenging place to be in.
Let's hear Expired Visa.
This one is a personal one. We hope you enjoy it.
He don't forget.
He enters.
yeah, yeah.
Money don't forget.
Now so fight come start.
Money don't forget.
Police come enter, yeah. The story scatter.
I am Peter.
Waiting him home.
Expired visa.
Waiting him carry for passport.
Expired visa.
I don't know how it happened. He say, hey,
hey. Expired visa.
Suffered in a foreign land.
Expired visa.
Wait. Please, Mr. Officer, please. sleep. No father, no mother. Where do I start from, Mr. Officer? Where do I start? Please don't send me back. No more. Mr. Officer, please, I beg of you, give me one chance. Give me one chance, please. Mr. Officer, don't do this to me. I beg you, please.
Expired visa from Ankara Afrobeat Collective. We'll be back with more after this break. And welcome back to this Ankara Arena Afrobeat special. Well, wow, what an opening half hour we've had to the programme this evening here in Arena, and I'm sure we have another half hour of excitement for you. Segun, you have brought along with you that the people in Studio One have now seen that the stage has totally cleared and then refilled. It's been replenished.
Yes.
Let's talk first of all about the gentleman standing right beside me here. You brought a spoken word artist. Who have you brought with us and why?
Ah, this is my brother. This is Dagogo at Dagogo. And he is a poet and a playwright. And he's just fantastic. I'll let him introduce himself and tell him about.
Dagogo, yeah. I'm guessing that poetry is for you what I think music is for Segun.
Exactly. Yeah. It carries this similar ethos in terms of like storytelling and being able to share like our experiences from, you know, coming from Nigeria, living in Ireland, and even the stories of like our forefathers before us. Like Fela, for example, or the likes of like Chinua Achebe, Wole Soyinka. Like it's the same thing we're all trying to do, share our stories.
What brought you to poetry though, rather than music or some other artistic expression?
That's a very good question.
Give me a very good answer.
I think I've always been good with words since I was like young, and I wanted to be a hip hop artist, but that failed horribly. But I suppose the word still stuck with me, so it kind of just naturally translated from music as well to poetry in terms of like still sharing those stories and still, you know, storytelling and sharing our experiences.
And you've said storytelling a couple of times now, so the performance element is hugely important in this for you. It's as much about telling the story as it is about writing a poem down on the page.
Yeah. Like my collective is called We Are Grayo, and Grayos are like West African bards or storytellers. So as much like oral storytelling is one of the oldest art forms. So as important as it is to be, you know, a pen and paper poet, it's also very important for us to be able to tell those stories with the essence in which they were written. And that's what I try to do.
What's in a Man is the piece that you're going to perform for us now. I know your whole life has probably fed into what you're asking here, but I think in particular the death of your father when you were quite young feeds into this.
Yes. I lost my dad when I was 5, and I won't say since then, but like since some sort of semi-consciousness, it's been a constant pursuit of mine to try and define what that means for me, especially now that I have a 6-month-old at home, what it would mean for me to raise him as well, you know, being black and Irish and male. So it's something that like writes home with me a lot.
Well, let's hear the poem. And I know that Segun heard a little bit of this in rehearsal. Segun is going to accompany you on the keyboard here, and it adds something enormous to the poem. Let's hear it then. What's in a Man, Dagogo Hart?
My mother always said that the day I was born, my father ran home and changed into his finest suit. In his words, I'm a man now. I do not remember the time, but I know she described it like the sun hung onto the sky, like a bright yellow lantern trying not to set. Every day I wake up, my goal is finding that suit. Something to say, I am a man now. Some fabric made of secondhand wool and words and actions all trying to fit into the same sim. I was 2 the first time he called me the man of the house. I was 5 the first time he meant it. Since then, he has been more sky than earth, and I have been the bright yellow lantern of a sun hanging on, trying not to set. Try not to dip behind the clouds, because I know better than most that the shadows of fathers are long and dark. It's been over 2 decades and I still don't know the recipe for a day. I still count my steps between sunrise and sunset and believe life is everything that happens between a daydream and a nightmare. I still describe life in shades of gray, as if fate's eyes have ever been ash, as if my mother's smile has ever been anything but an upside down rainbow trying to catch the rain, as if my sister's laugh isn't a crashing wave of no color at all, just powerful, transparent and honest. So today I become old enough to know I am not old enough to know what makes a man. But I know that each day deserves a different recipe. Some days I am simply my brother's keeper. On other days I am the last straw on the camel's back trying to balance. My mother always said that faith is showing your belief in the sky by planting deep into the ground, and that is why we bury. So today maybe all I need to do is just be. A pigment of dirt and air and a spirit that has pretended long enough till practice makes perfect, because maybe real men don't exist. And we all just have faith. My mother still tells me about my father's favorite suit. She said he carried me with pride and I was his glow of fabric and wool, so maybe that's what a man is. The chin that holds heads up. A lazy summer sun catwalking across the sky that keeps the darkness at bay for just a bit longer. And this is the man I choose to be. A sacrifice to the world. A cemetery for your bones.
That's the go-go heart and what's in a man. Oftentimes when poets read something or perform something on the program for me to go-go, I find myself ringing a word or two and talking about that. The fortunate thing is I'd nearly have to go through every line in that poem. I've put so many little marks down. But one in particular that I've put a big box around, in fact, was my mother always told me that faith is showing your belief in the sky by planting yourself deep into the ground.
Mm.
How difficult is that for you here in Ireland as a Nigerian Irish person to find those roots?
I think the beauty about, especially when I lived in Dublin, the beauty about Ireland in general is that there's always a way to connect to something. I mean, the human experience is so broad yet so similar. My experiences personally will always, the reason why that poem resonates with so many people is that so many people share the same story. Like my experiences will always resonate with somebody else, and that way I can always connect myself to the roots of this land, and our like our roots can just intertwine with each other. Yeah.
And your son, what age is he now?
6 months.
6 months. Are you getting any sleep?
It's getting better, but I don't think we're fully there yet.
Seagán, you're also a father of Irish citizens, of your own children. How many children have you?
Three.
Three. Boys or girls?
Two girls and a boy in the middle.
You must identify to a large extent with many of the things that de Gogo expresses in that poem in terms of, you know, watching a man and stand up and be a man and all of those sayings that are often given to us.
Yes, absolutely. It is very challenging in a way, because you do have to be not just a man, you have to be a role model as well for the kids. You know, when they see you coming home, they want to know, you know, they want to feel safe, they want to feel like, oh yeah, daddy's back, you know. And that in itself is one of the joys, but also it could be really kind of really.
Yeah, but yours are a bit older now, so you can relax to go. But you do get some sleep, but it takes a few years to get there. In terms of de Gogo here with us as a spoken word artist, directly opposite me, on the opposite side of Studio One, a very colourful group. Now, if you said to me South America and Africa, I wouldn't necessarily see the links, Seagán. Explain why I'm bringing Brazil and Africa together.
Oh, because there's a special connection between Brazil and Africa, you know. Brazil has been a really how would I put it? It's like almost like a paradise to me, you know. When I saw Brazil as a kid in Nigeria, it looked perfect. And apart from that, come to discover that my kind of ancestors were shipped to Brazil, and some were shipped back to Nigeria. It's just and then the music, you know. Mm. Last February we did Africa Brazil together, and it was a sold out show in the Sugar Club. And the plan was to actually explore the musical connection between Africa, Brazil, and Ireland.
Well, we might come to the Irish bit a little bit later on, because let me talk to Sari Amit, who is the singer with the group that you have brought into us to help explore that connection. You were part of that gig back in February, obviously, Sara.
Yes, I was.
What connections were you surprised to discover between, as Segun has described it there, Africa and Brazil, and the music in particular?
But to be honest, I'm not surprised at all, because I always knew that there is like a big connection with African culture, and not only on music in Brazil, because we are all based on Africa's culture. But to be specifically about that gig, Africa Meets Brazil, that we did in February, we have this, it was a sold out event with this beautiful mix of people in the audience from different countries with different colors, and everyone was very hypnotized, I'd say, with the music and the rhythms. Everyone was dancing and people were smiling. It was such a magical night, you know.
And again, as you said, dance very much part of Brazilian music. I mean, if we think with the samba is going to come to mind practically immediately, the bossa nova, and all of those dance rhythms that we talk about, and I guess that's a direct link. But the song that you're going to perform for us refers, not, I was going to say to this month, but it's actually April now. It's not February any longer. Flor de Febrero, if I'm saying that remotely correctly. Flower of February. Tell us who the Flower of February is.
So Flor de Febrero, which is, means Flower of February, is mainly influenced by the festivities that we have in Brazil for Iemanjá, which is the Orisha queen of the rivers and the water from the Candomblé religion. It's African and Brazilian syncretism. And it happens every February in Brazil. And people, especially people from the north of Brazil, would bring to the sea small, tiny handmade boats where they would put flowers and offerings in as a sign of their love with the religion. Mm. It's a very beautiful celebration.
Well, it sounds like a beautiful celebration, and interesting that it's linked into the beginning of February. Well, we have our own St. Bridget at the beginning of February. Maybe there are links there as well. Let us hear the song, Flower of February, from Sari Amit and friends.
Ô mamãe, eu quero, quero brilhantina no cabelo. Meu cabelo é marombado, só bota banha de cheiro. Avisa lá que eu vou chegar. Leva pinga, capoeira de pimentaia, batucada de primeira de Paulinho Oiá e meu soma de rei. Oiá, oiê, por esse mar vou navegar. Toda onda que me leve não derruba iá. Molha a boca em teu cabelo, me encaracolar no carnaval de reis. De fevereiro em fevereiro, mamãe, eu te trazia uma flor. De fevereiro em fevereiro, mamãe, vinha afetar meu amor. Verde, manga, rosa, doce, fruta, trepadeira, sacundi, sacundê, sacundeira. Vagarosamente mexe, balança na saia, laranjeira, saia do meu coração. Vou te contar, baby preta, dombe, sou manhosa, que isso me machuca. Baby preta, dombe, sou manhosa, que isso me machuca. Na beira da Guanabara, quase toda sexta-feira tem um sambaiá. Pé na areia, pele preta, que radia, iá. Sal e sol, eu cantei. Oiá, oiê, aos pés do redor. pra comemorar. Todo ouro que carrega eu rezo Oxalá e beijo a espada do rei. De fevereiro em fevereiro, mamãe, eu te trazia uma flor. De fevereiro em fevereiro, mamãe, vim ofertar meu amor. Verde, manga, rosa, doce, fruta, trepadeira, sacundi, sacundê, sacundera. Vagarosamente mexe balançando a saia laranjeira, saia do meu coração, vou te contar. Baby preto, dambi, sou manhosa, que isso me machuca. Baby preto, dambi, sou manhosa, que isso me machuca. Baby preto, dambi, sou manhosa, que isso me machuca. Baby preta, dombe, sou manhosa, que isso me machuca.
Flower of February, Flor de Febrero from Sari Amit and friends. We'll be back with more after this break. Welcome back to the final part of this Arena Yankari Afrobeat special. Oh, yes. They have cheered. They have sung. And now the audience in Studio One, and I hope the audience at home, are going to dance. And Segun Akano of Afrobeat Collective is going to lead us in that dance. We have to learn some steps to start out. Sorry, you can't see this if you're at home. Close your eyes, imagine, stand up and dance.
Yes. So, for this one is called Eyimba, all right? Can I hear you repeat Eyimba?
Eyimba.
Excellent. Wow. You're Nigerians already. Yeah. Anyway, this one is for warrior, okay? For warriors going to war. So it's not a take it easy song. It's a fire ready to fight. Whoa, Eyimba, okay? 2,000 men singing the song together. All right, you're gonna join us in a little dance, okay? You roll your hand to the right, you roll your hand to the left, you pack it up in the middle, and drop it down and pick it back up, okay?
That means you gotta stand.
Yeah, please, yeah, come on. All right, last practice. Roll it right, roll it left, pack it in the middle,
excellent.
All right. Okay. You good? You fantastic already.
Before
fantastic.
We go, let me thank the entire Arena team for everything, all the work they've done this, but in particular our sound men this evening, Pádraig Kearney, Gard Duffy, Mark Dwyer, and James Feeney. But the big thanks has to go to the musicians who are standing here in front of me, and Sarah and her friends who are over here behind me right now. I expect to see them dancing too. Let us have. From the Afrobeat Collective, Yankari, Eyimba.
Okay. All right. Are you ready? Are you ready over there? Are you ready up there? Okay. Here we go, okay? You got it? You get it? Two more times, let's go.
people. This is where we go. Move your leg, move your leg, move your leg. Come on, come on, come on. We'll be right back.